Now we're going to, as promised, talk a bit about technology and gadgets with Fevzi Turkalp joining us. So we're going to kick off with some news about Apple with Fevzi, who's editor of GadgetDetective.com. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning. So Apple have gone back to the Investigatory Powers Tribunal to challenge a second secret Home Office order. So the Home Office can issue these orders called technical capability notices. This is under the Investigatory Powers Act, and it gives the government the capability to order technology providers, such as Apple, to develop or maintain a certain capability, in this case, to allow them to respond to warrants, because the way that Apple had arranged the storage of your and my information was that they couldn't comply with warrants because they didn't have access to the information themselves. And actually, this is increasingly common. Quite a number of technology providers have done this. And that's partly what, you know, when you hear about end-to-end encryption, that's part of it, but it's not all of it. It's also how it's stored. So these technical capability notices are usually secret. So not only do the companies have to comply, but they're not allowed to say that they've received one from the government. Apple have won a case that allowed them to highlight that this exists. So far they've been told that, you know, they can draw people's attention to the fact that it exists, but can't discuss it in detail.
So they've sort of admitted that the government have asked them, in certain circumstances, to reveal some information.
Yes.
So there have been some cases, yeah?
Yes. So the history of this is that the government previously ordered Apple to develop this technical capability for users worldwide, Apple users worldwide. America got very upset, didn't want its citizens spied on, although it's probably the most effective at spying on every citizen in the world, including its own. But it pointed to some legislation that said that Britain and America promised not to spy on each other's citizens. So the British government backed down. Now it seems, reading between the lines, that they've brought the demand back, a new TCN, but this time excluding the Americans. It might maybe it's only British citizens. So we've already suffered by this because Apple has a system called ADP, Advanced Data Protection, and this was the uncrackable thing that you could do. You could set a switch on your iPhone so that your iCloud data was uncrackable, at least couldn't be shared by Apple. Rather than comply last time, Apple switched off that capability for UK users. So our security was already weakened, not just because it makes it hackable by the government, it makes it potentially hackable by others as well. It weakens our protection. So we're quite unique at the moment in not having access to ADP. In most markets, they have it. Now, we'll see what happens, whether... my feeling is Apple has said it does not provide backdoors and it never will. Now, either the government backs down or loses, or Apple withdraws from the UK market, and I wouldn't put it past them to threaten to do it, and if push came to shove, to do it.
And can you just explain what sort of cases are we talking about where the government, I mean, we don't know because it's all top secret, but are we talking about like potential terrorism or organised crime or something, that our government would go to Apple and say, we want to see this bit of information? Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Yes. So hopefully we're talking about access with a warrant. but even if it's access with a warrant, at the moment Apple says we can't comply with the warrant because we don't have the technical capability to do so. They've deliberately designed the system, as have other storers of our data. They've designed it not to be able to share information because they don't have it. They don't have the keys to unlock the information. They store it, but they don't have it. So, yes, the government would say to you, this is about terrorism, this is about, paedophile gangs, anything and everything that the UK government would want to investigate. The difficulty is that you can't really produce that sort of back door without weakening it for everyone.
Letting everybody else in as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a very famous... Yes, there was a very early case like this when the Americans, when they were developing their telephone switchboards, they designed them so that the American government could wiretap very easily. And the first thing that happened was everyone else started wiretapping American phone calls. You can't do it, and that's Apple's point. And reputationally, this would be a disaster for Apple. You know, it builds its reputation on privacy and security of our data, that they don't monetize our data, and they don't want to be in a position of having to comply with these warrants. And of course, the subtext of this is that we worry that that the government may overreach with these powers. And we've seen it before. You know, you've heard cases of, you know, government having anti-terrorism legislation, and then before you know it, you find that local authorities are using it to spy on how people are using their recycling bins. The difficulty is once it's there, it can be abused by the government in terms of mission creep, but it can also be utilized by other bad actors.
And we're talking about Apple here. Are there similar things, can we assume, going on with all the other phone manufacturers?
I assume that there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anyone that stores, you know, Google Cloud and these sorts of things, they're analogous, and a lot of them have those sorts of protections built in that doesn't allow the provider access to the information, therefore they cannot comply. I would say that Apple have been a bit more robust in their defense of our data, so they may be a more obvious target, but the fact that we haven't heard about it with other companies doesn't mean that they're not just quietly complying.
Now, you are the gadget detective, so we'll have a look at a quick gadget. Well, I say a gadget, it's not really. I'm looking at it, and I think you're going to have to explain what this is, because it looks like the inside of a bit of a computer.
Yeah, well, it kind of is, or it can be.
So for people who don't understand at all, what is it?
Yeah, so this is a storage device similar to what a hard disk drive would do, which is to store and retrieve data. And this is more relevant now because we've just talked about storing your data on the cloud. It may not be as secure as it should be. So this is about, you know, storing your own data. So these things have got high capacity. So this thing is, think of it as something that looks a bit like a large stick of chewing gum.
Yep.
It's from a company called Kioxia.
What are those little gold things on the end?
So those are the contacts. So you just slide it into a slot at about 30 degrees, you snap it down into position, and that's it.
Right.
Don't even need a screwdriver necessarily.
Extra storage.
Yes. So this can be storage in a computer, or now that, you know, storage costs are going up built into computers, you may put it into what's called an enclosure, which is essentially a box, which then turns it into an external drive. So it doesn't have to go in the computer. Could also go in a games console, for example. And again, we've seen that Sony have recently announced that they're not going to be making games on discs anymore. So if you've got a PlayStation, you're going to have to buy electronic versions and put it onto your own storage. So again, something like this would be good. So Kioxia used to be Toshiba Memory Division, they make some of the best solid state devices. In fact, they invented a lot of the technology that other people use. This is called an Xperia Pro G2. What it means is extremely fast device, and I wanted to give you some examples of how fast this is, just to give you an idea of how the technology has come. It can transfer a complete 4K film in about 2 seconds. It can do a standard high definition film in about half a second. So if you wanted to copy it off or copy it on, it would take that amount of time. If you're thinking about photos, perhaps between 200 and 600 photos can be accessed per second by this, which is, quite a remarkable thing. In terms of pages, if you thought about Word documents, maybe 10 or 20,000 pages a second, which is essentially a full filing cabinet every second. So these things are incredibly fast. There are cheaper versions. So the Xperia Pro G2 is like a top-end one. So if you were an AI developer or something like that, or a video editor, you would benefit from something like this. But what's interesting is that it doesn't cost much more than the standard speed ones. You know that the speed of all these, the cost of all these things have gone up. So a 1 terabyte stick like this will cost you about 180, a 2 terabyte maybe 300, and a 4 terabyte about 600.
Wow, so that's a lot.
We're talking, yes, I mean, the prices have more than doubled in the last few months. So I've been thinking about this myself for personal use, because my initial thought was, I'm just going to ride it out. I'm going to keep the equipment that I've got, and I'm just going to ride it out for the next year. But seeing the way that things are developing, and seeing that some AI companies have bought up stock into 2029, and there seems to be no guarantee that it's ever going to let up. I know we're talking about the AI bubble, but that's not guaranteed. That we could, there is also a sense that we may be coming to the end of personal computer ownership, that none of us can afford to buy and operate computers that do the things like locally run AI, that we may be forced off it. You know, like there's this trend towards how we don't own anything anymore.
Yes.
That we don't have, you know, a record collection. We have a Spotify subscription. We don't have, you know, our DVD collection anymore. We have another
streaming
subscription that does it.
Yeah,
so that sort of thing. And as I mentioned, we're not going to have our games collections anymore, because Sony's going to force people to buy.
So this is a good argument for having a lot of storage and buying it before it gets even more expensive?
Yeah, so I think, yes. I can't give you sort of financial advice, but the decision I took, let me put it that way, I recently bought a computer that cost me substantially more than it would have done 3 months ago, and it really stuck in my craw to do it. But my opinion is, I'm gonna be glad I did in 6 months to a 12 months time, because there's no immediate sign that the prices will stop going up, and they're doubling and tripling over and over again. So I think, and the thing that worries me about it, as I say, is I think we may be coming to the end of autonomy of, you know, owning our own technology, that we will, just as we increasingly have to subscribe to softwares, we're going to subscribe to computers as well. And we saw it with Apple, because now that their computers have gone up in price like everyone else's, they've introduced this leasing system, which is effectively, you know, hardware as a service. You subscribe and you lease the software, because the hardware, because you can no longer afford to buy it. And I think that's where we're going. And for someone like me, that's an anathema. And I really think we're sort of losing control. You combine it with, you know, what's happening with sort of tech pros and the billionaires and all the power being in a few hands. These are effectively utilities now, but we're going to be forced to buy them from a handful of people, and we can't grow our own anymore, as it were.
Indeed. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. Fevzi Turkalp there, editor of GadgetDetective.com.